Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family member's tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. We'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet to be. For a 45 minutes complimentary session, email Life Coach Today at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ask@lifecoachtoday.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Thank you. have its own way. Let the Lord have its own way. The law of life. Let the light have its own way. God's will is the way. You are God's will in action. Even when we resist, even when we fight, it's still God's will, right? If we're one with the one. The truth is, when we resist, God ain't tripping. Because God is going to be God no matter what, if you're resisting or allowing. It's all about opening our heart and confronting what's within. And sometimes we find some beautiful treasures. Sometimes we don't want to look. Because the inner critic is lurking. But you got to open your heart and let the Lord, let the law of life have its own way. The Agape Choir. That's the light chant. Be in the light, be the light, being the light. No matter how you cut it, you are the light. No matter how you dice it, slice it, no matter what you do with it, flip it, we are the light, even though sometimes we don't always feel that, even though sometimes we're more facing the shadow self. And then one day we get to find out the shadow is a gift. We get to release all the judgment about the shadow self. But until we release the judgment, until we confront the self-talk, oh, Lord, we're going to run from the light. Because the light is going to shine itself on the dark space, the dark consciousness, if you will. The part of us that we've been spiritualizing to be whole and one with the one. But the deeper we go, the more stuff we find. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about myself. So don't be offended. Don't worry. I'm just talking about myself. Like, oh, my God, I'm still dealing with this. Okay, I heard something about luminescence. Well, let's see if I can tap into it. the Agape Choir. Thank you, thank you, thank you. To find out more about the Agape Choir, you can go to their virtual homes. There's agapelive.com, agapelive.com, the home of Michael Bernard Beckwith, and Ricky Byers Beckwith, and all their children. And you can also go to Sound of Agape. That's the place where you can download their songs. And you can listen to the chant and help you when you're having those moments when your light is dim, when you're afraid to open up your heart. Now, and there they got the Ashe Ashe, celebrate, morning chant, return to me, use me. You know, the world. What the? Anyway, leave it alone. you get the gist. If you don't know about Agape, you're missing out. All right, that was my ego mind talking. But if you don't know about them, you know about them now. And let's start a new beginning. Let's begin again as we enjoy this wintry spring. And surrender to Mother Nature as she does her thing, letting us know that no matter how scientific you are, no matter how intelligent you are, I still run things. You can change the time, you can change the calendar, but I run things. So from that place of consciousness, from that place of surrender, I welcome you. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired. And of course, when you catch the inspiration, you can't help but make a difference. Just your mere existence, just the fact that you're alive is making a difference. Because the thoughts you're thinking is creating a vibration in a planet. Just your beingness. Now you get to choose how you want to show up. We want to get to a point where we're not even choosing how we show up. We just show up. Because then there's no judgment in how we're showing up. That's the ultimate for me. You know, we don't even need to choose fear or love. We show up as who we are. And in that place of showing up who we are, we get to recognize that, of course, the only thing to choose is love because that's who I am. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show on lifeconversationsradio.com. And I am is your host. That's right. I am is your host. But some of you, you get caught up with identification. The I am is showing up as, okay, I just projected on you guys, didn't I? Okay, I forgive myself. I am is the host, but I am is showing up as life coach. I day showing up as all the other names. Sometimes I don't even know how I am is going to show up. I just show up and see what I am is going to do. And sometimes I'm like, oh, God, did you really have to go there? And it says, I am that I am. And today's topic, we want to talk about the Lumen Essence Method with my brother, my friend, who is coming back to us, the author of Click, Choosing Love, One Frame at a Time. That's Carl Studner. I know they play with that last name in so many ways. I'm going to resist. I'm going to resist this one. But they say what you resist, persist. Right? I just let it be. But anyway, the topic is Lumen Essence Method with Carl Studner. He's going to share with us what that's about, how you can tap into your own light, how you can allow your light to guide you and direct you, even when you ain't really feeling it. It's time for quick announcements, and welcome all of you listeners. Thank you for being here. Let me bring on Celeste. So Carl is standing by and taking a picture of every moment. Click, click, click. Catch this, Carl. I'm smiling. Now I'm frowning. Let me bring on Celeste and start playing around. No, I'm going to play around. See, my shows are going to be me talking back to myself. You know, I just want to free myself, because when I say stop playing around, that is the inner critic in me. And somehow I've been trying to heal it, let it go, fight it, but it's been around a long time. A friend of mine said, you know, one of the things that's amazing about you is you actually debate with yourself. You talk to yourself during the show. Because I hear some of the things that inner critic expresses, and I say it, and then I'm like, no, we're not going to let that go out there like that. So anyway, Celeste, how are you doing? Welcome to my party.
All the voices in my head say hello to all the voices in your head, too. I'm going to do the quick announcement. We have a party, and there's a party in the chat room, and everybody is sending you love, and we've got lots of beautiful people on the phone lines, but we don't have time for that. We've got Carl in the house.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Okay, go ahead. Let me mute myself so we can get to it. So we can click, click, choose love.
Hey, it's your birthday week. You can do what you want to do. All right.
Well, my birthday is kicking my tush. She's helping me. Anyway, moving right along. Go ahead.
Aw. Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and lifeconversationsradio.com. You can find the Nutty Professor, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach Today and our wonderful Carl Studner can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do Facebook or you can't get on Facebook, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day on the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Also, you can email Life Coach Today any time of the day, and he will answer your questions on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachaday.com. Don't forget that you can also email him if you would like for Life Coach Today to discuss a topic for an upcoming show. The theme for the month of March is Spiritual Awakening, and tomorrow, Life Coach Today is flying solo for a powerful conversation about the abuser within. And come a little closer, we're going to crash the studio tomorrow in celebration of his birthday coming up on Thursday, so be sure to stop by for some metaphysical treats. We also have a...
Make sure to bring your abuser within so we can all be free.
Okay, so come in for your metaphysical treat, and we're going to tell you exactly what you need to do with your abuser within tomorrow. That's his birthday gift to all of us. You're always giving, Life Coach Today. Now, for a quick rundown on the shows on Life Conversations Radio Network, these shows will help shift you one conversation at a time. Be sure to join Ambassa Safira for the play experience. That's on Thursdays at 7. And then Ancestral Blueprints is coming up this week with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today, since it's the last Wednesday of the month. Then be sure to join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we go more in-depth with numerology, medicine cards, and tarot. Now, did you know that the Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated? Yes, it is. It's syndicated on Within Radio. You can find him there every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspiredbroadcasting.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, then hover. Don't click on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then click the Ask Life Coach Today drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. No amount is too small, and we thank you for being a blessing. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Woohoo! Excitement.
So happy about your birthday. Okay, I'm getting out of here.
I am excited. I'm happy. I'm being birthed. You know, birth is messy sometimes, you know?
Yes, it is.
I'm sure you can tell me, but I heard that I can see, and birthing is messy, and I feel like I'm confronting some stuff. But
How can I tell you?
You're a woman.
Yes, I haven't had the pleasure of feeling the physical birth pains yet, only
right,
spiritual
but,
ones.
But you have those moments every 28 days that I don't have, and that's still part of it.
You know what? We're going to stop now, but I'm going to let you know that men have more cycles than we do. I'm done.
Ooh. Well, we all need it. All right, bye. Oh, wow. People are like, what is going on here? I mean, come on. Why can't we talk about that? This is the real stuff with Moose. Sometimes I heard you're just feeling so much pain, you ain't even thinking about meditating. So, you know, let me move on. Let me stick to what I know. What I know is I am here to be of service. I am here to love. I am here to grow. I am here to shine. And I'm even here to embrace the part of me that sometimes I run from. I choose to stop running, and I invite you to join us and just say, oh, catch up with yourself. Slow down and catch up with yourself. My guest today is Carl Studner. Carl was here, I think, about a month ago. Oh, my God, it was such a great conversation. We just needed him back. Come back, we need you. And I'm here back to shine some light on us so we can all be free. Okay, what else do I need to do? I want to welcome all of you in the chat room. Thank you all for being here. We appreciate you. It is always nice to see my universal family. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your energy. Those of you listening on the phone lines, thank you. Those of you listening on the archive, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in to yourself first and then tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, because you got to tune into yourself first. Because everything else that we're doing is just a trigger. We're stimulating thoughts. The answer's within, and we're supporting you to tap into the answer that is you. And, of course, our Within Radio listeners. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sharing your thoughts, your love, and all the good stuff. And now, speaking of love and thoughts and good stuff, we're bringing the good brother, Carl Studner. But let me read a little bit about him first. You know, this brother knows how to... create a space for you to really see yourself. But, okay, here we go. I was multitasking, so I was buying time while I was talking. But don't tell anybody. Those are people in my head saying, come on, read the bio. Carl Studner is a world-renowned photographer, inspirational speaker, teacher, and author. His innovative work, the Lumen Essence Method, teaches a new paradigm for radiating the light that resides within, allowing it to fully express, empowering its energy as it inspires and reveals each person's authentic gift. He's the author of Click, Choosing Love, One Frame at a Time. That's my radio voice. In writing Click, Carl uses the familiar example of having our picture taken as the ultimate barometer of where our attention is being placed in every second of the click. That essential choice point in every moment of our lives. The book is a masterful blend of author's own personal stories with vulnerable, engaging essays from respected guest writers such as Tom Robbins, Ram Dass, Kenny Loggins, and of course, Cynthia Jane, Karen Drucker, and much more. And if you haven't picked up a copy, click, go get one. And go to his website. His website address is carlstudner.com. That's CarlStudna.com. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, clear your voice, because a man is in the house. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my brother, my friend, myself, Carl Studner. Hello, Carl. How are you doing?
Hello, brother. Nice to be back with you today.
Yes, yes, yes. I think you brought your crew with you. Oh, God. All right, now, calm down.
You're holding the throngs back, huh?
Yes. I'm like the security officer, like pulling them back. People fainting all over the place. Oh, it's in the house!
You know, I got to tell you, you're starting the show with the Agape Choir singing the light chant. I was listening, as I was waiting, and I started feeling really emotional because, I don't know if you know it, but I was in the Agape Choir for 10 years, the first 10 years that it was around.
Oh, wow.
And I think I probably was in that recording, too, that you were playing. And you're so intuitive, man. I mean, you play that as the opener. Cynthia just sang that the other night when I was doing a talk at Mile High. And it's that song is just such a beautiful reflection of what we're talking about today.
Yes. It is. Thank you. And thank you for the confirmation and the affirmation. What I do when I play my songs, I just ask for it. What song would be a good song to play? Because I have several I can play. Well, several, but sometimes I play some of them over and over because I love them. But I just get guidance to play what needs to be played. And when I hear it, it's like, yeah, of course, that makes sense. And and now I get to see why I was So let's jump into this, into the frame, this frame of consciousness known as the light, the Lumen Essence Method. But before we do, I got to ask you this question, and it's a simple question that we all must answer. That's your test question, and the question is, who are you? Who is Carl Studner?
A unique emanation of the light, and one of the things that I've continued to grow into is recognizing that I'm here to, through my various gifts, to reflect and reveal each person's unique light back to them, and allow the anything that's not the truth, that's not radiating in the light to dissipate and to be released. And so that the fullness of each individual's presence, magnificence, gifts, purpose, fully shine and radiate.
Indeed, indeed. And we're going to break that down a little bit more. But I want to, let's talk about this. If you could kind of describe or give us a definition of this lumen essence, and then we'll weave it in with how we shine that light or how we raise that light when sometimes there's something's going on behind the scenes that doesn't feel like light. Like some. So what is the lumen essence method?
Well, you know, the overall principle of the luminescence method is just first off is that we are all at our core, that we are fully enlightened beings, that we are the light at our essence, at our core, and that the greater that we remember and embody what our authentic nature is, who we really are, and awaken to it, then we fully open and are in that place of illumination. You were talking earlier about letting go of coming to terms with and releasing judgments, so judgments are a part of it that we'll talk about, but certainly the more that we are able to become free of all of the fears, all the limiting thoughts and judgments and old patterns, then we just naturally shine. We're naturally glowing and illuminating the unique gifts. Everything becomes in flow. Everything is in this perfect rhythm when those old blocks aren't there, because the light and the highest of truth and radiating is really our natural state of being. So the luminescence is a way of opening and releasing anything that's not of the light, so that we can just fully glow and give of our unique gifts.
You know, it's the what you're sharing is stimulating thoughts and some of the things that I've been moving through. And I think particularly February, I've been finding myself going even deeper, and just I could just feel intuitively that there's some healing that needs to be done, the things that are getting away, the judgment that I have about myself, as you mentioned earlier. And more, as I kept listening to that, I was brought to this conversation about shame, or the energy of shame that's within me, that there are parts of me that I try to hide. And I did a show last week, and tomorrow's show is a continuation of that. But I really think, really, my shows are really an expression of where I'm at and what I'm going through. And it's life. There's no separation, really. And I find that I want to slow down. I've been making a choice to slow down and not rush through this. And because there are times when, you know, when I read about, you know, when I read your book, Click, Choosing Love, One Frame at a Time, when I listen to spiritual teachers, when I, you know, watch videos on YouTube, and I'm reminded of who I really am, that we are pure light, that we're here to go with the flow. When we learn to do whatever we need to do, we get to that space. But sometimes I find myself still wondering, do we actually get to a point where there is no fear anymore? Do we actually get to a point where we don't feel guilty for something we did, or where there's no more shame? Especially, and I'm talking in this physical body, you know, I go back and forth. I look at teachers. I look at my life. And for me, I don't know. I really don't know if we get to that place. Maybe we do. What I do know is through my spiritual practice, I give myself the opportunity to strengthen my spiritual muscles to deal with things that show up. And normally, maybe I would have run from it because my spiritual muscle wasn't strong enough. But because of through my spiritual practice and forgiveness that I've been doing, I'm able to be with what's showing up. I'm able to slow down and just kind of, you know, not try and judge it, not trying to make it be something else. I want to know your thoughts about that. Do we get to a point where, you know, where in this human body is really what I'm talking about, where we don't feel the fear, the anger, the frustration, the shame, the guilt, or is it an ongoing journey?
Well, you know, I'll just share with you what my experience has been. And, you know, I certainly, in my perception at least, I don't believe I've met anybody that lives, you know, moment to moment without judgments and fears and shame, old patterns coming up. You know, probably one of the closest people I could say that felt the freest of that would have been the Dalai Lama. But my hunch is that if you talk to him, he would probably say that things come up for him, and then he, you know. But my experience is that the more that we, and you were just alluding to this, the more that we become anchored and dedicated and devoted to a daily spiritual practice, when our practice becomes a moment-to-moment integrated experience where we are open and not resisting, you know, the old fears, the old mind chatter, the old doubts, shame, whatever you want to call it, then, and the more that we build and grow our tool chest, so to speak, mm-hmm. our tool bag, and are willing to take the time as soon as we recognize that something is bringing us out of the light, out of the joy, out of the sense of oneness, as soon as we are able to recognize that and call on these tools that are effective for us, then my experience is it's that my life becomes about how quickly can I come back to the truth, because mm-hmm. I see that the truth is the light, the truth is oneness, and anything else is separation or fear. And so I don't resist the light. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't resist. That's true. I'm not resisting. That was sort of a slip in a wise way. I don't resist the light. That was accurate. But what I was meaning to say was I don't resist the dissonance. I don't resist the fears and the separation that comes up, and then that just allows me. It's like, how willing are we in every moment to just really be with it and bring the compassion in and use the tools and then release anything that's not true and fully open to the light, open to the wisdom, open to the oneness, open to the harmony, open to the love, the essence of love. Because if we truly believe that love is really the essence of everything, at the foundation and essence of everything, love and light, I think they go hand in hand, you know, then how quickly are we willing to release these things? And, you know, and I think that one of the reasons why it's so difficult for us at times to let things go is because we are holding on to some form of judgment, whether toward ourselves or toward somebody else. So I think that judgments are a key factor in being able to recognize, you know, as soon as, you know, what I find and what I advise and coach people with is that it's a lot easier, I find, to tap into a feeling initially than it is a thought. So what I mean by that is, if I'm going throughout my day and everything, I'm feeling light and in flow and you know, and on purpose and inspired, and then for whatever reason I notice, oh, I'm not feeling that way right now, you know, it's a lot easier to track immediately a feeling like I'm not feeling as joyful as I was a moment ago. So then I can look at, well, what just came across my consciousness, what thought or energy just came into my consciousness, then it's a lot easier to track it. You go, oh, okay, this judgment just came in, or this fear or shame or whatever, or this email I just got that triggered something in me, you know? And that makes it a lot simpler to be able to track it. And then am I willing in that moment to take the time? Because it doesn't have to take that long. If the more that we steep in these practices, it doesn't have to take long to go through a certain tool and use a tool and a process to release that, that myth, because it really is, you know, that's just not true, and go and sort of realign and recalibrate to where I was, 5 minutes ago.
Right. And I think that's the key there, and that's the answer that I tend to come up with, that space where, I got a text yesterday. I was all kind of, wanted to kick back and relax. And then I got a text, and just what was in the text, I felt this fire inside of me. It was just like, what is going on? It took me a while to really bring myself back into alignment, because at first, there was, I think I was more, the text brought up a conversation that I've been having, and this other person who I feel like, just taking their time in doing what I need them to do for me, because I need the help, and they just give me all this excuse for a whole week, and it was just like, for flip's sake, enough already, just stop it, just do it, and then I knew I needed to be with myself, and I had to go outside. I was outside at what, 7 o'clock, 7:30 or something like that. It was nice and cold, the moon was shining, and it was just like, oh yeah, let me just be out here in nature. And I really just allowed myself to feel what I was feeling. And then I realized, there's really, the other person's not doing anything wrong. Neither am I. Something happened, I was triggered, and the best gift I have to give myself is to allow the emotion to keep moving. Emotion, energy in motion, let it move, observe, listen. And, I just made a choice not to fight it, not to be judgmental of myself or the other person, but just watch myself. And I just got clear. It's like, life happens. There's some things that are going to be triggered. It's just how I deal with it, how I move with it, what the meaning that I give it. That's where the freedom is. That's where I get to return to the light, as you were saying, And it takes work. I think because we have been conditioned to be judgmental, be critical of our own selves, and we don't allow ourselves to experience our own freedom. I'm thinking of your book. There's a chapter, let me see right here, that I read that I thought, that's such a, it's the one on reclaiming
self-expression
and freedom. And you talked about the little girl crying in the plane. And how, she was really crying on top of her lungs, but the parents were more interested in making the other people in the plane comfortable. And I guess I'll let you tell the story.
You were right on with what you're saying. This couple were sitting in front of me on the plane, and their little girl clearly needed something. It was maybe her ears were, not acclimating to the pressure, and But they were more focused on making sure that she be quiet so that other people wouldn't disturb other people, and then they basically were letting her know that she was doing something wrong, and rather than putting their attention on, well, what is it that really she needs right now, and. No, they were, I can't remember how I wrote it, but they were almost wanting her to apologize, to others. And I was sitting behind them thinking, no, there's nothing for her to apologize for. She's in pain, and she's trying to let you know what she needs. And so their intention, again, was it was just not focused on what her need was. It was being caught up in thinking about what others might be needing and then blaming her. And that was poignant to me of how often that in our culture, unless you have really grew up with really enlightened parents, how often that parents will be more concerned about the society, especially in public, than what the child's need is, and then putting the blame there, and then as a child, then we start feeling like we are to blame for something that had nothing to do with us. You know, we just were expressing that we were in pain. And so it was a good metaphor to me, you know, of that and how easy it is. It's no wonder that we grow up with, you know, such conditioning of blaming ourselves and having self-judgments and all of that.
Yeah, you know, I actually want to read that because as parents, sometimes we get caught up in how children are showing up that we want to correct. And because when I was reading this, I just had there was a smile on my face for your instant response, but just you know what they said, and I'll read from here. You said, as the plane rose and reached a consistent altitude with a pressurized cabin, young girl's pain subsided and her crying ended. I overheard the mother say to her, "Can you tell everyone that you are sorry?" I mean, first of all, that broke my heart. I mean, and what I'm learning is like, you know, it's like they're teaching that child that to express who she is a pain onto somebody else and not honoring her pain.
Exactly.
And you said, I had to hold myself back from moving my head into the role from behind and saying, I would dramatize what you would have said. She has absolutely nothing to feel sorry about. She was clearly experiencing tremendous pain in her ears, and it's up to you as a parent to comfort her and determine if there's anything you can offer her that will ease the comfort. He said, later in the flight, the father supplied a toy and food that did help to bring their daughter greater comfort. And, you know, it's easy for me, sometimes it's easy to, I can go to the judgment, as you said, you know, on enlightened parents, or parents just need to learn to love. But, you know, clearly they were doing what they learned. But we are in a time now to learn to be different, to learn to honor our own feelings. And, you know, let me hear your thoughts on this. You know, what do you feel about parents like that who are more focused on how their child showing up at school, how they're showing up in a grocery store when the child is crying? What would you say to parents like that who are more focused about what they look like?
Well, first off, I want to preface it by saying that I've never had my own children, so I'm only speaking from, you know, a place of, you know, of my perspective, you know, you know, and I do understand how I have deep compassion because most of my friends raised children and have been around children a lot, so I have deep compassion for parents when they are feeling at their wit's end, you know, and I understand that. And, you know, and I think just going back to the example that was in the book, you know, there's a fine distinction there. And that is that it's just like a little tweak. It's a little tweak in consciousness or in operation because the mother could have said to people around her, you know, my daughter's just feeling a lot of pain from, you know, I'm sorry if it's causing you any distress by having her cry, but you know she can't help herself. You know, I mean, something like that's just a little tweak, you know, where it's not blaming the child, but it's allowing the mother to let people know that she's aware that her daughter's making a lot of noise and she's sorry if it's disturbing them in any way, but her daughter's in pain, you know. And that's just such a little difference and a little tweak, but it's not blaming the child. It's getting in touch with the mother's need. And the mother's need was to apologize to people because she was concerned about the noise. See, and it's that difference. So so you can use that as an example, you know, for, you know, in other cases as well, you know, where it's the parent taking the responsibility for just letting people around, you know that, you know, as the parent, you know, I'm sorry if this is causing a commotion, but, you know, my child's just needing, you know, needing to express the pain she's feeling.
Yeah, yeah. And we can't really create a space like that unless we've created that kind of space for our own selves.
That's right.
When we need our feelings to be honored, when we're hurt. And I think we're moving into a community, a time where we're creating space for healing. But it's new. And the Lumen Essence method, how does it help with limited thoughts, you know, or even the thoughts of being judged or being
sure.
different, being the loving one? Because sometimes we feel like it's easy to be critical or gossip rather than being compassionate. How does the Lumen Essence method work with that?
Okay, well, I'll give a little back history, which I talked a little bit about in the last interview. And the Lumen Essence method was really birthed out of my 34 years of being a professional photographer, and at least for the last 20, 25, really focusing on portraits with people, and recognizing how in every moment of the click, how it's so obvious where people's attention is in every moment of the click, because one moment they can look relaxed and present and in their essence, and then the next moment their eyes can be bugged out and their mouth can be tight, and you know, and so you really get to see click by click by click, moment to moment to moment, whether we are resting in our authentic nature, which is oneness, which is love, which is just an acceptance of, you know, the fullness of the truth of who we are and our gifts and our message, or whether some kind of self-judgment or fear or separation or what we call self-consciousness is coming in. So that's how it was birthed, because I wanted to offer to subjects ahead of time an added tool that they could bring in before we do a session that will just help to anchor people in a greater sense of self and in a release of the limitations and the fears, you know, that were taking place. So that said, the Lumen Essence method has five steps to it. And so first, what I go through with people is I ask them a series of questions, and the questions are just, I call it a personal essence assessment. So they're really questions that help to get the people to recognize really things like what brings you joy, what inspires you, what lights you up, what do you stand for, you know, what's your purpose, what's the key message, your key message to the world, what ignites you, what activities feed you, what's your unique purpose and gifts to the world, and how do you wish others to see you. Okay, so once we get clear about some of those and those come to the surface, then that allows the subject, and again, I'm using the example of if you're having your picture taken, but of course, this method, I do it both for people that are going to be subjects for a session, and I do it individually for people as coaching and counseling too. So it certainly isn't just for having your picture taken. But once you're in touch with all of these things that ignite you and more deeply clear about your purpose, then you're clear. You know, you're clear on what your intention is and what you stand for, and then it can be a lot easier then to go into examining what limiting thoughts and beliefs and patterns that have been present that have been holding you back from fully living in and expressing these truths of who you are. And then we go through a process of really recognizing and releasing the judgments that are there, because I believe that any time that we've got these limiting thoughts and limiting patterns, that there are underneath that, there are these judgments that have been probably encrusted in, you know, for quite a long time. And then a particular forgiveness process for really bringing light to and being able to release the judgments. And then going into a way of really seeing what the larger truth is so that we can reframe all the judgments that were present and really rest in the larger truth so that we're really shifting our perception in each moment so that we can really, truly, authentically rest in the truth and the presence of who we are and in the light. And then I take people through a guided imagery process called the Lighthouse Process that is a way of bringing in those qualities and having them fully embodied throughout the entire your entire energy system. And then finally, a way of resting and irradiating our enlightened leadership, making choices, discussing and opening and seeing and feeling how to make choices from this awake perspective.
So is this something that happens once, or is it like a retreat, or is it something you give the people tools that they can do once they left you?
Well, I've got different forms for this, and one of them is just a shorter version that I offer to photo subjects. That's an hour and a half sort of edited version, just that I go through with people, usually on the phone. I send them some of the questions first, the personal assessment, essence assessment first, and then I'll do an hour and a half process with them going through all this. So then by the time that we come and meet for a session, there's this deeper awakening and they have tools, and it's that much easier to show up and as we were talking earlier, to be able to recognize and release, you know, the fears that come up. And recognize them and honor them when they come up in front of the camera. I mean, that's one of the greatest tools, you know, that most people resist. Most people in front of a camera, because of our conditioning, which I talk a lot about in the first couple chapters of the book, you know, most people, we have such conditioning to think that if we don't look a certain way and aren't being a certain way in front of the camera, then, you know, people are going to see our, you know, they're going to see our fears. They're going to see and read into, you know, the areas that we're not perfect, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's such the opportunity. It's such the opportunity to embrace those pictures, to embrace those shots that you just want to delete, you know, you want to tear up. You know, you look, I mean, who doesn't, you know, when they see a picture of themselves that, you know, that looks tight or in between expressions or isn't flattering, who doesn't want to just delete it or just say, get that out of here, you know?
Mm-hmm. But you did put that on Facebook.
yeah, but, you know, but it really is an opportunity. It's a reflection. It's just a physical reflection of where consciousness was in that moment. So if we can use that as a tool, just as all these other tools that we're talking about, if we can use pictures that we hate of ourselves as a tool to go and look at it and study and go, wow, what was I thinking in that moment? You know, what were the thoughts that were present? What was the energy that was present? And really go into that. Then that can serve as a beautiful self-reflection, and then use the tools that we have to be able to bring the light to whatever those, you know, dissonant thoughts and feelings were, and to release them and to bring in the greater clarity and the greater truth. To further answer your question, and then I do offer sessions with people who aren't even interested in having their picture taken. Usually 4 to 5 sessions I'll do with people going through in a longer, more in-depth process with the luminescence method, and so we can go more deeply into it.
It's interesting because I want to go different two places there, but I want to say this first. It's interesting that you actually take people through this picture. Have you ever heard people say, all I want to do is take my pictures? What's up with all these questions?
Yeah, well, I give people the options. You know, I don't certainly not everybody that I photograph. I say, wait, well, you need to go through this process with me. You know, it's an optional thing for people if they want to go there. You know, if they're interested in going deeper in that way.
Okay, just curious. It's like, Kyle, I heard you're a great photographer. You should stop those things, some questions around. But I'm hoping to enjoy. What's I got to do with my picture, man? Just come take my picture. But now,
you know, and the truth is that whenever I do a shoot with somebody, I am doing this in a way that isn't through these steps. I mean, I'm naturally doing this. That's how all of this really evolved, is because I started looking at. Because my sessions over the years started getting deeper with people. People would start feeling like they were having these healing experiences. They might not call it that. Some people would. And then I started to recognize, well, what actually is taking place here, and why are these healings taking place? And that's what really caused the luminescence method to take form, is because I wanted to put an actual form onto it that I could actually guide three people through, in addition to just naturally, you know, doing it in an organic way when I'm photographing.
You know, the other part, the lane I went down, if you will, is this idea of I was reflecting on pictures that I've taken, and there was a time I did not like, well, I won't say I don't like it taken, I sort of avoid picture taken, but I don't have a lot. And in my, whatever the reason was, I think I was feeling kind of righteous. And I used to see people on Facebook like, gosh, they just take pictures and post on Facebook. And then one day it just occurred to me, it's like, stop being judgmental. This is your stuff. If people want to take pictures of themselves and put it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, they can do whatever they want. Just because you can't do it or don't want to do it, that doesn't mean anything. And I was like, okay. But for me, one of the, I don't remember who told me, but one of the things I was given when taking pictures is, when I'm taking a picture, think of somebody that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Think of somebody that makes me feel good. And that kind of helped me to say, okay, if I must take the picture, let me think of somebody that I really love and care about. And the part of me that doesn't like my picture taken is, first of all, I don't particularly like the acting where I feel like I have to smile, or if I don't smile correctly, or if the picture comes out and I'm smiling and I look like a clown, you know, just all this stuff.
Right.
So, and then I certainly don't want to take a picture if I feel like, oh, I don't feel like smiling, I just pose there. And maybe I may see something, oh, you look sad. So all that, the truth being reflected back to me, or should I say the truth in that moment being reflected back to me, it's not something that I always want to see. What is that about, really? I'm going to keep it so broad. Because of your work, what have you found as the reason why we are really afraid to see ourselves? You know, we talked about self-expression, but really see ourselves. If we're feeling sad, why are we afraid to see ourselves being sad? Why are we afraid? Why don't we want to look at ourselves when maybe we're grieving? What have you found as the cause of grief?
Wow. I mean, we could talk a whole talk on this.
Well, we've got about 4 or 5 minutes.
let's where to start. You know, first off, just socially. You know, socially, we are raised in a culture where, you know, where we're taught that we want people to think that we look happy, that we look, you know, that we look good, we look flattering, that we got it together. You know, that's just culturally, you know, an idea that a huge idea that most people grow up with. So the thought of having a picture that doesn't look happy or joyful or even flattering, you know, it's like, oh no, that's not how it's supposed to be. You know, so socially, that's one reason. I think another reason is because, you know, there's a part of us that's afraid that people are going to see, like when we're being more vulnerable in front of a camera, that people are going to see those aspects, and any shame, any self-judgment that we're still holding on to, then that taps us into this fear that people are going to really see that part of us that doesn't have it together, you know, that does have shame. And you know, it's like if there's a part of us that really believes that we are to blame for something, then that's going to be a concern with pictures, you know? I mean, really, you know? So the greater that we do our inner work and continue to let go and really release and heal those areas, you know, of shame and blame and self-judgment and the old patterns and this what we call self-consciousness, the more that we truly, truly heal those from moment to moment, then they're not running us. Then you can have a picture of yourself that, you know, that quote doesn't look good or look sad or whatever, and then you just become more the observer, you know, and go, oh,
yes,
that's interesting. Look at how I look there. Isn't that interesting? You know, then there's not the worry about what other people think. Huge, huge thing in our culture. Huge, what other people think. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, when I went through the University of Santa Monica 2-year master's program, you know, 11, 12 years ago, that was one of the hugest gifts to me, was continuing to release more and 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 more layers of the concern of what other people think, you know, because of letting go of the judgments. Of the self judgments and the judgments toward others and the forgiveness, and the more that I'm able to let go of all that, then it's like, who gives a crap about what other people think? You know,
then it just
becomes more that, and then we can just be more in the observation and go, well, look at that. You know, I love Ram Dass used to talk about that a lot. You know, it's more of a Buddhist approach, is just being the observer and going, wow, you know, imagine that. Imagine being free enough to just look at this horrific picture of yourself or video. You know, video can even be more so, you know, and just looking at, you know, this thing that you would normally have had this horrific idea about as being, oh, no, you know, and looking at it and just going, well, look at me there. Isn't that fascinating? It looks like I'm concerned about something here. It looks like, well, I wonder what that fear is, or what was passing through my consciousness there. Isn't that interesting? You know, I mean,
yeah.
When we're able to look from that purview, we're free.
Indeed,
you know?
indeed.
We're free.
We're free from our own judgment. Free from our own selves. You know.
Yeah. And that's when we're light.
Yeah.
That's when we're light. And that's part of what the luminescence method is that when we free ourselves from all of this and we are light enough, we are filled, our light fully becomes illumined, and we are light. We are the light radiating. We are light in our way of being. Look at the Dalai Lama. That's what, you know, that's one of the things I was so struck about with him when we spent time with him for those 5 days in 1999 at the Synthesis Dialogues in Dharamsala, India. Every person he was with would ask him a question, and he could shift from answering this question from the wise sage, being totally authentic, being right in that moment with that person from that place of wisdom and wise sage, and truly, seamlessly, the very next moment, start cracking up and laughing as like a young open child, because it's seamless, because he's not holding on, presumably, that's my guess, he's not holding on to any concepts or precepts about anything. It's just that fluid motion of truth, of reality, of what's floating in and what's floating out, and being complete, and that's what I consider to be completely authentic in each moment.
Yes. An act of self-acceptance,
yes.
Self-love.
Yes.
Loving ourselves the way we are, no matter what that is. You know, he talks about authenticity. We want to take a break. I've been enjoying our conversation that I wasn't looking at the time. But I want to continue the conversation when we come back after Celestial Moment with Celeste, and to talk a little bit more about authenticity, because sometimes
authenticity is usually thought of as you're always showing up as delight. You're always showing up compassionate. You're always, you know, there is, but sometimes authenticity, well, anyway, we'll talk about that when we come back. I don't even want to go there. I get excited. Let me calm myself down. But anyway, if you're just joining us, my guest, my friend, my brother, myself that I'm talking to is Carl Studner. His website address is Carl Studner. It's his name, carlstudner.com, CARLSTUDNA.com. And interesting. Ooh, sound. Yeah. if you go to his website and click, I really invite you to click the, no pun intended, click the home button, or yeah, click the home button and look at the pictures and kind of see what you can get to see his work. And this, I'm looking at Jack Canfield right now. Beautiful picture. And there's somewhere, some of the authors are not smiling. There's a lot of different people there. But we're taking your calls. If you have any questions, if you don't like the way you look, Carl is in the house to help you choose love one frame at a time. And we're going to take a break right now and come back with Celeste in a moment with Celeste Morgan. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Now, I'm just doing the show the way I want to do it lately. I just do it. Just let it happen. So let's take a break. And then we'll see what happens when we come back.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. I worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years, and I want to give you something to think about. I don't generally like labels, but lately, I've begun to feel that one little label is really important to embrace. Feminism. There, I've said it. The new F word. For too many people, that's a dirty word, but really, feminism is about equality. Feminists seek greater social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. It's about raising women up to the same level as men. So, I'm an F word. How about you?
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family member's tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. We'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet to be. For a 45 minutes complimentary session, email Life Coach Today at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ASK@LIFECOACHADE.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
That's what today's show is about, supporting you to live from that place, your lumen essence, the light that you are. You are an enlightened being, and whatever's getting in the way. It's time to embrace it. It's time to let it go. It's time to love it. Whatever you need to do to set yourself free. My guest is Carl Studner. We're taking a quick break now for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. And we're going to come back and talk to Carl, talk about authenticity, vulnerability that I'm in touch with right now. So anyway, I digress. No, I didn't. I'm telling the truth. Okay, mm-hmm. Celeste, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And through your conversation, the only thing I'm hearing right now is Blinded by the Light, Manfred Mann Band. Earth Band. Yeah, I hear the song playing over and over again. So every time you step up authentically, you blind us with your light, Life Coach today. Thanks to Carl for helping to radiate it.
Yes, right, because that's what Carl is doing for me, because I feel super vulnerable right now. I don't even know. Well, I know why. I'm not going front. I don't know why. We'll talk about it after Celestial Moment.
Yes, yes, and we're all in alignment. Welcome back, Carl. So enjoy having conversations about picture taking and looking deeply into our souls with you. It's fun, really. I'll tell you about it later. Anyway, moving on. I'm so grateful that you are here, though, because I feel good when I even think about wanting to think about what was I thinking about when I was taking that picture. I am that person who's like, I don't like these pictures. Get rid of them. But I can't get rid of myself. That's my reflection. So thank you for that. All right. So I am going to get to the Celestial Moment. I'm not sure if you can hear me, but I can hear you guys. So
we can hear you. Well, I'm muted right now. But go ahead.
Okay, not a problem. Good afternoon, family. My name is Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace all that is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day equals 7. And if you are celebrating a birthday today, then this is your lesson number for the whole year. The number 7 is ruled by the planet Neptune and is considered to be a highly spiritual number with introverted qualities. It's the number of perfection, security, safety, and rest. We have 7 days of the week. There are 7 chakras. The 7th chakra is the crown chakra. And this energy center connects us to the holy realm. Selvin also belongs to an African Orisha by the name of Yemaya, and she is the life-sustaining portion of the ocean, the mother of the waters. 7 also shows up as the chariot in tarot, and the chariot is astrologically associated with the sign of Cancer, representing mother love, nurturing, protection, and psychic power. The 7th letter of the alphabet is G, and words like goodness, guiding, and giving connect us to the divine power of 7. Now, 7 also shows up as the well watcher in the Wisdom of the Hidden Realms Oracle cards by Colette Baron-Reed, and that's exactly where we're going to put the spotlight today. The well watcher represents wisdom and the power of the divine. We are invited to maintain our connection by staying aware of our water levels. We are looking for a natural flow for more of our radiance to be shown. We can welcome our moment at the well as an ally or as a challenger. And in celebration of Holy Week, we are going to a well story in the Bible. When a woman went to get her water away from the people, when the sun burned at its brightest, she didn't go in the morning with the women and girls of her village. She came hoping for solitude, and in this fateful exchange, her whole life changed. How? Jesus was there, with no judgment and the ability to receive her exactly where she was. He came offering living water through a life conversation. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. On this day, she became restored to community, running to the people to share the gift she just opened. Though she questioned, doubted, and challenged, she said yes and decided to receive. Water represents our emotional state. It is a feminine element, and asks about our receptivity. The number 7 invites you to go out into the deep. You might also find yourself running into the community to share your own testimony of a sacred encounter when you tap into this energy. We create space for healing of ourselves and others when we welcome each other fully, understanding we have nothing to hide. So think on this today. How do you greet divine? And that's the story of 7, told through the Well Watcher of the Wisdom of the Hidden Realms Oracle Cards. All is well. I'll see you on Tuesday, around 1, for another Celestial Moment. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Celeste. Appreciate you. And,
my pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything in the chat room we need to know about?
Dream Master's been dropping downloads of love and beauty. You have your family in the house with Tamara Joy, M-Phone Lady, and Electra. You know, so they're just really not much going back and forth, but a whole bunch of love and sharings, people saying that they love the space and recognizing that when we see and acknowledge our opportunities, the universe will bring more of them to us. That's your quick roundup of the chat room at the moment.
Thank you, Celeste. You're just always on it. I can't even catch you off guard, not that I'm trying to. I appreciate that you can be right there. Thank you, Celeste. Yes, Celestial Moment. Every Monday to Wednesday, around 1. just master your own voice and start trying to do Celeste's voice. Carl, welcome back, even though you didn't
Thank
go
you.
You know, before we talk about authenticity, I want to talk about vulnerability. And I shared earlier at the beginning of the show, you know, that's where I've been. It's really, since February, it's like I hear the inner call to fall in love with myself in a new way. And I find the dissonance that you talk about, that part of me, you know, that wants to deal with my vulnerable self later after the show, and not do it now, because even as we're talking, because for me, this is an extension of my life. So when I'm listening to the conversation, I experience the conversation on a deep level. And just what I've been working through, there's a part of me now that just, I don't even know what that part wants to do. I can sense the it's not a battle, maybe it is. And, you know, so I guess my question really is, this is on radio. You're listening to Life Conversations on radio. This is not radio. This is just me and my brother talking. And you guys have the privilege of listening, okay? Because I don't know how to be anything else. If I'm trying to do something else, then they really get in the way. How do we create the space for vulnerability, even in times where it's challenging? Like now, I'm doing a radio, and I really would like this part of me that wants to reveal itself to kind of wait till after the show, but I know that's not even being real with myself. How do we create space for ourselves when we're in that place and feeling raw and open?
Well, I think that, and you were talking about this earlier, that when we're feeling safe, then we can feel safe to be vulnerable. And again, part of this, I think, has to do with our social conditioning, too, because it hasn't been that long when you look at history. I mean, our generation really is like the first generation to really claim that it's okay to be vulnerable. And not only that it's okay, that when we are vulnerable in an honest and responsible way, you know, then that's when it opens the space for others to join us there, to others to join us in that place of trust, that place of sensitivity, that place of leading from the heart rather than from the mind or from fear. So It's really been such a short period of time. I mean, I don't know before human recorded history, but certainly in our human recorded history, we haven't read or heard much about, especially man, you know, being vulnerable. And most of our recorded history is that when people were vulnerable, they got killed. You know, they were open to attack in some form or another. You know, So we've really entered into this new era in this way, and we get to be the lack of a better word, the guides, you know, for this new domain, and really showing and mirroring to others that really when we are vulnerable in, and when I say responsible way, I mean sometimes people might feel like they're vulnerable, but they're dumping stuff on others, you know. Like,
right.
I'm feeling really vulnerable now, and I need you to know that you were just an asshole, and you're blah blah blah, you know. And so to be vulnerable, I feel, is really about sinking more deeply into the heart and trusting that when we are that way and being truthful from an unconditionally, I mean, really loving, truthful place, loving within ourselves and loving communication, that's what opens the heart in others, and that's what invites people in on an energetic level. I mean, I find that to be true all the time, is that the more that I share from a vulnerable place, and if I'm talking in front of people, then it's really obvious, because those moments when I become more vulnerable and just speaking from a really more raw place, it's like an invitation, you know, for others. And the same is true when people are having their picture taken. It's being vulnerable with the person who's in front of a camera, because that can feel very vulnerable for people. You know, people can feel like they're, as I said before, like they're being exposed in a certain way. So honoring the person in such a way, or with ourselves, it's such a place of honoring, getting to a deeper place of love and honoring, and knowing and trusting, having that trust that when I am really speaking from my heart about anything, and from a place that's not of blame, that's not of judgment, that's just truly from my heart, and that's the truth that needs to be expressed, whether it's something that's, constructive about someone else, or, whether it's something that we consider positive or, you know, quote, negative or constructive. If it's done from a truly loving and vulnerable place where there's not the blame there, then that, to me, that's part of what authenticity is. It's just learning to feel and to communicate from a place where there really is no separation. You know, when we're really feeling at one with another person, or, you know, with the people that are listening here, or whatever, you know, then there just isn't the concern, and we can say anything, because anything that is true, that's of truth, that just needs to be said because it's true. But learning how to communicate in those ways that are, you know, that are truly loving and loving to self and loving to others, that is not of blame. I think that's where we always have the opportunity to learn more and to go deeper in how to do that, because we just didn't learn that in our education, and most people didn't learn that from our parents. So it's learning how to communicate in ways, and then I think part of vulnerability and part of authenticity is in acknowledging, like if you say something to somebody and you recognize, because as long as we stay open and we listen and we feel the other person's response, and we feel our own, where we're at in the delivery, we know whether we're delivering and expressing something in a truly honest, loving way that doesn't have baggage to it, that doesn't have judgment to it. So if we do, you know, then how soon can we see it and acknowledge it, and then be responsible in communicating to the other person? You know, when I spoke with you about that, I realized that I I had some judgment there, or that I was blaming you in a certain way, or that, you know, just so how quickly can we get off of our, you know, our position, you know, to be vulnerable enough and honest enough just to tell the truth, and, you know, what does it look and feel like to really feel and tell the truth with ourselves and to other people?
Yeah, you know, it's so much thought. I find that, you know, when we talked about when we're being open, connection happens, and I totally see that, get that, have experienced that, and there are times for me when others are being vulnerable. Oh my God, I feel, and I, you know, maybe the people who I'm not there for could have never told me, but I feel the feedback I get is I'm able to support people to move through that place and be with that place and just look at what's coming up. But sometimes I struggle with creating that space for myself. You know, it's like I don't know, I just become this crazy sport coach. Just, come on, you can do it. Come on, you know better than that. And then sometimes I just find myself to say, relax, relax, relax. And then, you know, as I listen to you say, you know, this is kind of new for us. And as you said, from a man, that sometimes I think of, gosh, a man is not supposed to be that vulnerable. But it's like, well, okay, that may be true. But right now I am vulnerable, so it really doesn't matter. But really being able to support myself or getting support or leaning on somebody else, it's more and more now. I just feel like this layer are coming off, and I'm just slowly walking through it. And I think of your story. Actually, we're going to take a call, but I think of your story in the chapter, Detonated My Victim, and you talk about taking your picture. That is just so funny. Maybe you can talk about that after we take this call. And we could, because I want to ask you a question that's related to that. Let's go to Tamara Joy. Hello, Tamara Joy.
Hey,
how
good
are
morning,
you
guys. How's it going?
Good morning. Good.
Very well.
Good. Hey, you know, I have been sitting with this very topic for the last week. I just have a lot of questions about how vulnerable we allow each other to be or ourselves to be around each other. And I know Facebook is like our big social experiment right now. And I noticed that, for instance, somebody will disappear for a month and they'll come back and people go, where were you, where were you? And they'll be like, well, I was having a hard time. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's reflecting this idea that we have to hide and be separate if we're not having the good emotions. And so I've just really been noticing that and wondering, like this past week, what if we all, like, posted every day on Facebook what we were really feeling? Not in a complaining way, not in a needy way, just in a, today I feel lonely, I feel sad. You know, today I feel like I'm on top of the world. Today I found this great inspirational thing I want to share with you. But it seems like there's this slant towards always having to be positive and on top of things and deeply spiritual, you know, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
And what if we could, you know, just stay connected no matter what we were feeling or going through or how on top of things we felt or whether we felt like we were drowning in our emotions. Or, oh, my gosh, like you said, Ade, I'm having the same problem again. That again. Because we all go through all of it. So it's just...
You bring up a great, I think it's a great example with Facebook because, you know, you look at how relatively new that Facebook is and this whole technology with communicating with the world in this way. And as you say, you know, imagine the vision of Facebook and other social media growing, evolving into places of support in this way, of being mm-hmm. of being real and authentic with wherever we are, and you know, and being able to be a networking place for sharing sharing insights, sharing wisdom, sharing support. It's I see that as a real possibility that it could grow into, at least for some people. I mean,
right.
obviously there's people of all different kinds of lifestyles and consciousness on Facebook
right.
and social media. But
right.
for a certain sector of people, I definitely see that what you're saying is something that we have the opportunity to evolve into. And it's a reflection of what we're talking about, I think. It's a reflection of how willing that we are, how safe we are within ourselves to
right.
to really share what's true in each moment and be willing to put it out there and be willing to be supported. And I think one of the concerns I think that could happen with something like Facebook is that you invite people of all types of consciousness to come into that conversation.
Yeah,
so there's going to be people that are responding that are perhaps
they might get it together.
that are wanting to tell you how to fix it.
Yes,
this is what you
exactly.
need to do.
Exactly.
So,
why did you create that reality? That's my personal favorite.
Yeah. So you're inviting in all these possibilities of responses and that could be another reason why maybe you just share that you open it up to share it with a more personal group
true.
On Facebook,
Right.
Right. Things like that because so that that the people that are participating are ones that are in the like consciousness of how you wish to be heard and how you wish to be supported.
Right, right. And I think the safety issue is so
yes.
critical. Like I think we were all raised as that baby on the airplane. We were all in some ways told, go to your room, be seen, don't be heard, or our parents were going through whatever they were going through and didn't have that room for us to have that range of emotion. And then so I think it starts, I'll speak for myself, I think it starts with me, me isolating myself. And I just see other people doing that, And,
yes. Yeah.
And
but
I
you bring
just,
up a good point, though, too, and that is that mm-hmm. when we're vulnerable, vulnerability... I think that when we wish and choose to be fully open and vulnerable and expressing ourselves from a really raw place, that we want to know that the people that we're sharing that with are really our God squad, our support, that they're coming from a light consciousness, So that's a really good distinction, in that
mm-hmm.
And that's a good question, Ade, with being completely vulnerable on your show, is because you don't know who's listening in, and you might get some responses from people that just don't understand or aren't on the same, they're not on the same lesson plan, and so then if you choose to, whatever you say or however you are, when putting it out there to whomever, then it's just having the knowing and the wisdom that you could get responses that
right.
that might not feel supportive or that mm-hmm. You might not feel understood by that person and then having that be okay.
Yes, indeed. It's so true. Thank you, Tamara.
I love this conversation.
Thank you. Joy. And what you're saying, Carl, and the question, because what come up for me is, first of all, that issue of safety, personally. I get a little pressure on Facebook, well, not too much, because first of all, I can type something and it can be read from a different perspective. And I don't go to Facebook to be held, to be supported like that. Now, it's funny, actually. I do have my own personal issues about asking for help. And I had this experience last year during the basketball season, and the team I was supporting was losing, and I posted on there, I need a hug. And, that's probably the most vulnerable I've been on Facebook. Now, when I'm doing my show, people hear a lot more about me because I feel like on Facebook, if you type something, it can have so many different meanings. And as you said, Carl, people may not understand. They won't understand because they're just reading the words.
But
yes.
I think being vulnerable, we have to make a choice. We have to really get clear that who do we want to share this conversation with? Who is going to hold us in that loving space, that God squad that you talk about, that place that's going to help us heal this? Because we all have stuff we're dealing with. And that whole, that what I call intellectual spirituality, why did you create it, those kind of things. And we have to be careful, we have to be gentle, we have to be aware who we're sharing it with. Brené Brown, who was on Super Soul Sunday, she's been on two episodes now, and one of the things she said, I'm paraphrasing this, she said, share your story with people who have earned the right to hear it. I'm paraphrasing. But what I got from that for me is when I'm feeling vulnerable, now, while I'm vulnerable right now, I'm not saying everything because
sure.
It just doesn't need to be said. But there's still a part of me that's still like, oh, my God, it's radio, it's recorded, it's going to be downloaded, it's going to be heard. Oh, my God, what are people going to think? But I do find comfort. Because that's why I like hearing people's story. I find comfort. Brené Brown, she did a TED Talks video. Well, her TED Talks video has been viewed now like 8 million times over that, probably 9 million now. And the topic was the power of authenticity. If you haven't seen it, it's a great video. And she gave the talk. She shared about her life and what she's moving through. Just to, you know, she's a professor, and she was doing studying shame. And she shared the story. And she said she went home and had what she called a vulnerability breakdown, you know. And her friend was saying, you suck at this vulnerability thing. Because after she went home, she had all this thought, oh, my God, did I say that? It's recorded. People are going to watch it. What are people going to say? And there were some people who made some not-so-good comments, negative comments. There were people who made positive comments. But for me, I say to anybody, when you're feeling vulnerable, it's important to create a place or find somebody you know you feel safe with that's going to hold you, that's going to support you. And it's not even about them telling you, oh, it's going to be all right. Sometimes you just need somebody who's just going to listen.
Yes.
Who's just going to listen. Because listening is an act of compassion. It's an act of love.
Yeah. Yeah, having a safe space. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Vulnerability. Not always pretty, but we got to move through it. Why are my hands cold? I'm not vulnerable. I'm in charge. I know what I'm doing. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about authenticity and play. We got to throw. Okay, we're gonna squeeze it in. I think we do. We have time to squeeze in play and authenticity.
For me, I do.
Okay, good. Okay, I know that's right. You said I don't know about you, but I have time. Oh, you meant that in a different way. That's funny. Okay, authenticity. What's your definition of authenticity?
Well, I think we were just talking around it, you know, and that is being willing to be still and be truthful, truly truthful within ourselves and then outwardly, and how that reflects outwardly with others in really a truthful way. And when I say truthful, I mean without judgment and without any kind of blame. And when we're being that way within ourselves and communicating that way with others, that to me is authenticity. And then we are, I feel, we're radiating the truth. We're radiating, and if the truth is light, we're radiating light. And then we are unstoppable in the sense that we're not held back by past fears, past conditioning. There's nothing that's blocking us. Our channels are open so that we are listening and receiving the messages that are constantly coming through for what's next and what our purpose is, what's the next wisest choice to make, who to be with, who to speak with. Everything to me has to do with that deeper, honest receptivity. It's funny, I'm saying that word and I'm looking at the piece of paper, a piece of paper that says radio on it. I was thinking, yeah, the radio, the reception, you know, the radio dial. I just did a blog on that recently. You know, where we are, our receptivity is just fully open to you know, the channel that is broadcasting the greatest truth, broadcasting the greatest wisdom, that is the essence, that is the core of who we really are.
Yes, yes. You know, I more and more I'm getting clear that it's so important for us to treat ourselves the same way we would treat a little child that we really love and appreciate. No matter how old we are, we're male or female,
yes.
Because sometimes life is messy. And, you know, I'm being vulnerable and having my vulnerability breakdown on the show at the same time. And, I mean, just like, oh, gosh. But I, deep down through it all, beyond the intellectual overthinking, I understand that really it's not even about what people say or think. It's really about my own soul salvation. Can I express where I'm at right now? Can I share the truth about how I'm being? Because really, that's what my work is about. I support people to do the same. So for me, ultimately, what it comes down to, it's about how am I holding myself in that space.
Yeah.
Let's talk about play. I know that's one of the things you value. How important is it, especially as adults, and being able to radiate our looming essence?
Well, we get to both honor that.
I can see the big smile on your face.
I think you know something about play. Yeah, you know a little bit about play. So, you know, I find that the more playful I am, the more open that people are around me. That's bottom line. And the better I feel, you know. I think I talked about it last time about how I started recognizing the more that I was doing portraits with people, that the more playful that I would become and the more joyful and silly, that it would immediately, for most people, serve as a way of releasing their armor and their fear. So, because how can you hold on to fear when you're looking at somebody that's just being so joyful and silly and playful, that's radiating that with you? It's like an invitation, like, come and join me, come and play. You know, and the truth is that I've always loved to play. You know, I mean, as a kid, I loved to play. That was part of the problem with why I wasn't happy a lot as a kid, is because there wasn't enough play around. You know, school was way too serious, and at least the way that I wanted to learn. You know, so as an adult, we really do get to. As a child, it's a lot harder to, you know, to choose our surroundings and the people we're around at times and the institutions. But as an adult, God, we have that. We have that opportunity in every moment to choose who we're around, what we're doing, whether we bring joy and play to what we're doing. And to me, that's one of the greatest things in life. That's one of the reasons why I love certain music. You know, when I was a kid listening to music, it was one of my salvations, was listening to the music that brought me joy, because it felt similar to play. You know, it was like, oh, it's bringing this energy, this life force energy of awakeness, of aliveness, of light. You know, to me, playfulness is a form of radiating light and expressing it and being it and just being and allowing, again, it's sort of vulnerable in a certain way, being vulnerable enough to let our inner play, our inner child, fully express and have that authentic way of being with people. You know how children can just make things up and be playing with others and be spontaneous in the moment and go, okay, now you're the nurse, and you know, and then, you know, yeah, they're just in the moment with, and this rock is now choosing, you're just being creative. I think for so many of us, we get so locked into thinking that we need to be a certain way and act a certain way, and our spontaneity and our creativity moment to moment to moment is so pushed down and diminished, when the truth is that nobody is pushing it down. You know, there's nobody that is causing us to damper our expression and our creativity. So the more that we just continue to use these tools and to do the work and release these old mindsets and these old fears and these old patterns, I believe that we naturally become more enthused. You know, we naturally become more expressive. We naturally become more playful. And our expression, we're not thinking as much. We get out of our head And of course, there's you know, the intellect is great for certain things, but so often I think our culture is run too much by the intellect. So we get out of our head and we just are just in this natural rhythm of expressiveness because we are naturally feeling inspired and enthused and turned on by whatever it is that we're talking about or whatever it is that we're doing and involving people in it. And to me, all of that are aspects of play.
And to get to those places, that place where we can be free and playful, sometimes we need to visit the parts of us that we're afraid of, the part of us that we're ashamed of. And so we can't bypass it. There's no play bypass here. You got to go through it to experience it, recognize it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And really looking at, well, you know, examining, looking at, well, what, you know, what are the thoughts, the fears, the patterns, you know, that have been holding me back from fully letting loose, you know, letting loose. And I remember with my dad, at times. I mean, my dad is, when I was a kid, he really did not really support me in being playful and open and spontaneous and curious. And it's actually a miracle that, you know, in my adult life, we bridged all that, healed all that. And he just passed last year, and I view him as one of my greatest greatest supporters of really, I mean, as far as how he devoted his life as I got older to supporting my creativity, even though he might not have been aware of it, but that's a tangent. going down another road here. But the point is that we, you know, we have the ability to learn these tools and to go deep into looking at what, you know, what's holding us back, and to release these, you know, these old fears and patterns that have kept us from being fully expressive. And I truly believe that the more that we release them, our natural, authentic, glowing self just emerges more and more and more. And then we are, you know, we're magnets because people want to be around others that are turned on and that are enthused and that are on purpose and that are sharing their message in a clear and passionate way that's of service to others.
Yes, indeed. You know what I'm hearing, feeling, sensing, Carl? We need to talk about their men's retreat.
That'd be cool.
Somewhere in the woods and just let it all hang out. Have clinics sponsor the retreat. It may just be for me because I know other men don't cry, but I'm sorry. I'm just one that does. Oh, well, Carl, thank you. Tamara Joyce said, thank you, Carl. Appreciate your calm, gentle, and clear sharing with us.
I so appreciate your just simply providing the atmosphere and the space to be authentic and to fully, you know, where I feel so at ease and so comfortable to just to express on greater levels, you know, what's coming through me, and I feel very, you know, I feel very safe and trusting around you. So that's a great gift that you offer.
Thank you, Carl. Appreciate that. And I'll give our love to Cynthia as well as Lisa,
sure,
and all the beautiful people that are around you. And
thank you.
We're having you back because this is just an ongoing conversation. You know,
absolutely, anytime. And you know, I just so appreciate who you are and who Celeste is and all that you're doing.
Thank you, my brother. Love and appreciate you.
Be well.
Yes, indeed. Yes, life is good. It's getting better. We're moving through it. We are God light. That's what we're going to leave with. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Those of you listening on the archive, thank you. Thank you so much. And don't you dare tell people about me getting vulnerable on the show. Keep it to yourself. I have to feel safe around you. Well, the truth is there's a part of me that feels like that. But, you know, do what you want with it, you know, because it's really all about me. What you do with it is about you. What I do with it is all about me. Carl Studner, make sure you check out his website, carlstudner.com. S-T-U-D-N-A .com. Carl, C-A-R-L, Carl Studner .com. His book, Click, Choosing Love, One Frame at a Time. Great book, great analogy. I mean, get yourself a copy. And I'll be back tomorrow. And the conversation continues. The conversation continues. Tomorrow we're talking about the abuser within. Oh, Lord, what are you doing to me? Spirit, I want to hide. No, that's not true. It's time to release the show. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Ooh, I just had some therapy. No, I'm telling you the truth. But I thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for being who you are. Be love. It's the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself, even if I'm resisting it myself. But I will allow myself to be loved. Allow yourself to be loved. This is Troy Horn, God Light. That's who we are. That's who we be. So I'm just going to surrender to that. I'm going to surrender to today's conversation. It's okay. It's all right. Stop tripping. You do radio the way you want to do it. I'm out of here. TroyHorn.com is his website. Thank you all for being part of this conversation. Thank you for being part of the healing. And thank you for tuning in to yourself. Troy Horn. Let's get ready. Damn. Dance with our vulnerability. Dance with our issues. Dance with our light. God light. God date me. And I'm out of here.
Monday morning. Weekend's gone. I can't believe how fast this thing called life goes on. I still recall when I was young. The mama's baby has a daughter and two sons. Radio, don't play my songs. My kids rock out, they know the words to sing along. Circle of life, it's kind of strange. Sometimes it breaks my heart, but all of life is changed.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.